want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and our special thanks go out to James Wesley Rawls and also to Mike Adams and my broadcast partner James White, who will be joining us again for an active segment here at the bottom of the hour where we discuss the modern-day implications of the JFK assassination, among some other hot topics that we'll have, if we have time, we'll get to. But right now, we are in the midst of our health report. And you know what that means. It's Katie Whalen time. Katie, welcome.
Hi. Thanks, what's Dave.
What's on tap for tonight?
Oh, lots of good stuff, as usual. And I was listening, you know, as you know, I'm on the studio line, so I'm listening to the first couple segments. And it just so happens that one of my stories is what Mike Adams was discussing about, and you were discussing about the Chinese and how they're working on embryo technology, and we're working on machine technology for transhumanism. So this article is from Natural Society. It's called "The First GM Human Could Exist Within 2 Years." Well, and I kind of think that's nonsense, because we already have them and probably have since World War II. And that's a discussion for another show. That's my personal opinion. But the article goes on with the biotech firm Editas Medicine says that humans who have had their DNA genetically modified could exist within the next 2 years. The company announced that it will soon start the first trials of what it calls groundbreaking new technique. A U.S.-based Editas, is striving to become the first lab in the world to edit the DNA of patients suffering from Leber congenital amaurosis, which is an eye disorder. It's a genetic condition that causes severe vision loss at birth. So it's called LCA. It's said to be caused by defects in a gene responsible for the creation of a protein that is vital to vision. Well, Editas Medicine scientists believe they can fix the mutated DNA using gene editing technology known as CRISPRs, C-R-I-S-P-R, which stands for Clustered Regularly Interrupted Short Palindromic Repeats, allows scientists to edit genes with precision, efficiency, and flexibility. So that's... And here's the part that it says, in early May, Chinese scientists said they successfully applied CRISPRs to non-viable human embryos, suggesting that the technology could someday be used to treat any gene disease. Well, my personal note on this one is, the dilemma I see in all this breakthrough science, it's science without a moral compass. So this is the hype they give us to advance their cause, when in fact this technology could get into the wrong hands and be used to recreate humans. They intend to destroy humanity, my personal opinion is, but use the guise of this new technology under the cover of advancement. Question, what kind of advancement? So this is an incredible technology. If you have a baby who's born blind and they can use this wonderful technology to bring sight to this child. But at the same time, it's like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I mean, do we want to go there? Or who's going to be responsible for the technology if it gets in the wrong hands?
Katie, if you look at the worst case downside scenario, what would that consist of?
What you and Mike were discussing. and that is recreating human beings or hybrids, animal human beings, human super soldiers bent for destruction. I mean, there's a lot of things that it can go both ways. So that's where I'm kind of torn with all this. It says that it might even be used to create designer babies in the future, the article goes on to say, though that day is a long way off. I seriously doubt that. Again, Dave, predictive programming.
Let's interject this real quickly again.
Mm-hmm.
During the break, we talked about this topic, and I mentioned the movie from, I think it was 2 years ago, Man of Steel. And the first 30 minutes were spent on the planet Krypton. And Annie and I had covered this in a news segment where General Zahn said, I was bred and created to be a general. And that Superman, who was born on Krypton, was the first live independent birth where he wasn't genetically manipulated prior to birth to be whatever society wanted him to be. This is exactly what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, and what we see coming out in the movies, and we also talked about this in the break, what we see in the movies, what we see coming out of Hollywood, they're in cahoots with science. I mean, these writers have amazing connections with the Pentagon and with scientists. That's where they get their ideas from. I don't know who's feeding who, but they put these movies out there because the technology, I believe, already exists. But as they roll it out so that we can calmly accept it, they put it in entertainment form and it's easily digestible. But what we don't quite understand is that if, like we said, if it does get into the wrong hands, it can be used for pretty nasty things. So there's another part of this article. It goes on. You can read it from my blog later, theessentialoilwell.blogspot. I will have all the links to these articles. And it says, and from this piece, there's a piece from the journal New Eastern Outlook, and it gives balance to my point about science void of any moral compass. It says, in reality, all genetic editing, especially when it alters the genetic material of subsequent generations, represents a potential threat to the genetic heritage of the entire planet, with potential consequences we may still not fully understand. In a world where the science is final regarding humanity's impact on the planet's climate, demanding urgent action to stop the reverse of it, the absence of a similar impetus behind stopping the contamination of our planet's genetic heritage seems suspiciously hypocritical, if not utterly reckless, and even intentional. So that's the balance I'm talking about. We've got to be careful of what we're doing with this technology.
You know, Katie, it almost, if I were to write a banner headline for this, it would go something like this. The 13 tribes of Israel have become the one tribe of the New World Order.
Oh, wow.
That's how I see this. I see this, and I'll go back to, and I don't want to belabor this point because I know you've got other stories, but
no, that's
my
good.
old friend Vance Davis from the NSA said as part of his training, they were taught that there's a battle between good and evil. It's been going on in the cosmos forever. It's come to Earth. They want to possess the soul. The evil people do, but they can't, so they're attempting to destroy humanity through transhumanism. Vance was telling me about this 20 years ago.
I am absolutely sure of it. And I cover so many of the ways they're doing this on this segment. So I'm very familiar with that. And yes, could be the one tribe or the 13 plus one, but they are trying to infect all of humanity. So at least there's people rising up and questioning, where's the moral component to this?
There is none.
Like, there is none. It's a wildfire. So
It's the Ray Kurzweil synagogue of Satan, I should say.
Ray Kurzweil, yes.
Yeah, there you go.
The brilliant man,
brilliant beyond belief,
his mind is such, he's beyond Einstein. His mind is such that he comes up with these ideas. He's brilliant, but when you ask him, I've seen him in interviews. I actually met somebody who knows him last week. When they ask him, is this a good thing or a bad thing? He says, it's not up to me. I just put it out there. It's up to the society what they do with it. Wow. So that's where we're going. But I have another article here about electromagnetic hypersensitivity from microwave technology, finally medically proven. So this has a lot to do with your guest from a few weeks ago, Virginia Farber. And I have a little note at the end of this article. This is great because we finally have some proof. This is from Natural Blaze, from Catherine Frampovich. Finally, there's documented medical proof that electromagnetic hypersensitivity is a real-time health issue that actually can be verified using standard medical procedures and testing capabilities. An international group of researchers aced it when they published their findings from the clinical study Metabolic and Genetic Screening of Electromagnetic Hypersensitivity Subjects as a feasible tool for diagnostics and intervention. So the million-dollar question has to be, when will utility companies get up to speed on the latest in microwave technology damage to the human body? I mean, think about what this is doing to children. I mean, we know what it's doing to adults because every holistic doctor and every traditional medical doctor is seeing patients come in by the hundreds. And the symptoms are amazing. They're so broad spectrum, Dave. Not even the symptoms, the damage that it's doing to our bodies. So they're having a big...
I was going to say, this is something I do know a little bit about. It is worse for children. Your instincts are exactly right, because the human brain in a child has much more plasticity in it than does an adult. In fact, brain development continues at least until the age of 19, and some people argue it goes until the age of 26. Mm-hmm. But particularly under the age of 8... the brain is so fluid in young people. It's so moldable by these outside sources. And electromagnetic waves change the structure and chemical functions of the brain. And when you do that, you change behavior. You change potentiality of the brain. This is not good.
No, it's not. And the emotional part of is the last thing to develop. The emotional aspect of the brain is still developing into the early 20s. And who are the ones that are buried into their technology? They're buried on the computer. They've got their smartphones up to their head. I mean, everything they're doing is electronic. You know those EMF bulbs, those Curlicue bulbs we have now?
Right.
I managed to store up several boxes of the old bulbs, so it'll be a while before I have to switch over. But that's why I have a very low EMF reading. I keep my phone off, and those little bulbs, if you've got dozens of them in your home or you're sleeping next to a lamp with one and you leave it on, this is really bad news. So think about that. It says Pennsylvanians currently are being bombarded by non-thermal health problems from public utility companies, electric, natural gas, and water smart meters, which operate using microwave technology. So these communities and states are having to battle their own public utility companies. They're not getting the message. And the World Health Organization published online information about that workshop on electromagnetic hypersensitivity in 2004. They've known this since 2004, but now there's actual proof. So my push is go to the website, get the link, pull up the article, print out these research papers and take them to your city council meetings, your utilities board, your local utility companies, and show them. Get a coordinated team of writers to send letters to the editors of your local paper. Talk to your local news stations. Ask if they will present your evidence in one of their I-team investigations. I mean, we have them here in Denver all the time. Just depends on if it hooks them or not. Or on a health segment, on any kind of health segment that they're running on their shows, on their news networks. Get the word out. The crazy thing is, this is backwards. We should not have to struggle to opt out of these programs. It should be the other way around. This needs to be exposed and reversed, because the opt-out is it's not the norm. So here we are in a situation where we're literally being forced into microwaves shooting through our homes, hurting our kids, hurting our health, and then we have to fight to opt out of it for analog. So,
You know the agenda.
I know the agenda.
You heard it from Virginia.
Yep.
You know the agenda, and these people that are the purveyors of this technology are not the friends of humanity.
Well, and as these reports come out, search for them, print them out, take them to people. It's one thing to go into a utility board meeting or a city council board meeting and just whine about it and say it's hurting us or I've had to go to the doctor for this or that. But if you have actual proof, if you have studies and research, which is starting to come out now, that's going to hold a little bit more weight. So I would recommend that. I have a couple stories here. Death, I call death by vaccine regulation. Now, we've covered these before, but they're really starting to tighten the screws on this mandatory vaccine stuff. You know, Dave, your show, a lot of the alternative media shows have been talking about this for a year. This Greg Everson talked about drills, vaccine drills, where they had roadblocks, right, things like that. And we hear about it, and we're like, yeah, well, that won't happen. Well, it's happening. Believe me, it's happening. In Japan, I read last week, in Japan, they now have national ID cards. They have them. And they have your license. It's your driver's license. It has all your medical records, your vaccination records. It's all on a card. So they're already rolling it out in countries like Japan. It's soon.
So for what legitimate purpose could they be doing this?
You know, that's, I don't know. Well, we know why. But,
well, let's state it. Let's get it out in the open. Why?
I would have to say to track everyone's habits and categorize them to, in terms of healthcare later down the road, if someone has a lifestyle they don't want to invest in medically, to separate certain people.
There you go. So they don't want to invest in something down the road because of a health condition, too expensive, too much of a burden on society, so no self-respecting Fabian socialist will go along with it. So, Katie, we're talking about creating a depopulation list. Let's call it what it is.
And we're also I think we may be talking about a list of people who are, separating the healthy from the unhealthy, from basically by DNA, by genetics. Are we talking kind of a Nazi deal here, a super race, or a healthy race, doing away with the not-so-healthy, the sick, the infirm, the ones who will need more care, more drugs, a genetically perfect race? I don't know. I'm taking it to another level, but that's the only thing I can think of right now. They're in every other aspect of our lives. But it's none of their business, but that's what they're doing in Japan. And it's all right there. You get pulled over, and you have a profile scanning your driver's license. So, I don't know.
You know, Steve Quayle's come out with a book, and we're interviewing him in 2 weeks, in which he alleges the Nazis actually won World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear you talk about this kind of stuff, I'm in total agreement with Steve.
Mm-hmm. And the net is tightening as we are sitting back, paralyzed at what is happening. What do we do about this? Now, this first article, it says U.S. Senate passes bill approving mandatory vaccines for veterans. If this doesn't make your blood boil. Fundamentally, biological warfare is sneaky. It involves, this is by Janet Phelan from, Janet Phelan from Activist Post, and it involves a microbial sucker punch to its intended target, often accomplishing in a manner in which the aggressor can claim clean hands while his victim may suffer or die. Biological warfare can take a number of forms. The question, how can you get a bacteriological or toxic agent on board without the target being alerted, has been asked and answered. In addition to using humans and animals as vectors, biological warfare agents can be airborne, waterborne, foodborne, or put into our pharmaceuticals. Well. So they were talking about let's see, it says, substantial concern have been voiced concerning the potential for inserting bioweapons into vaccines. Indeed, given the history of known contaminated vaccines, this is hardly a matter of speculation. Polio vaccines have been found to contain cancer. Do you remember when I covered that story back on September 13th?
I do.
Investment Watch blog.
Yeah, I do. Katie, but we got to watch our time here because I know there's something you wanted to squeeze in here before
the
end.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Let's get to that.
I will. Thank you.
We got about a minute.
All right. And the second article was Pennsylvania proposes much stricter new vaccine rules. This is for children in high school and grade school. Mandatory vaccines. Folks, ever wonder why things like energy medicine, nutritional supplementation, Cantron, cannabis, essential oils, and hundreds of other natural and safe methods of eradicating viruses, autoimmune disorders, and cancers are not mainstream conversations or they're made illegal? It's because healthy people don't generate gigantic, filthy profits for drug companies and the medical establishment who need the disease merry-go-round to keep running at your life's expense. Please consider boosting your immune system. Mike Adams has talked about this. Boost your immune system now while you can, while you have access to the products, access to the tools to do that. So I'm telling you, anyone who's listened to this show, you know what I am involved in. So anyone who contacts me, I love and use essential oils. That is my base foundation for my home medicine cabinet. Contact me. We're giving away a bunch of freebies if you call me up or email me and you get a wholesale account by the end of the month. Full spectrum vitamins, minerals, essential oils. We have all kinds of things to build your own medicine cabinet. Put in it whatever you want, but please, people, start building these medicine cabinets and start working on your own health. Please call me at 720-630-3111. That's 720-630-3111, or go to FamilyEssentialShop.com, and I'll help you put this together with the best foundation, essential oils. And thank you,
okay.
Dave.
Thank you, Katie.
You bet.
And Katie, of course, is with us every Sunday, and she'll be back next week, same time, same place, with new and important health information. Stay tuned. We're going to a quick break. When we come back, James White will join us. Well, I want to remind everybody that we still have a lot of super products available at the foodforliberty.com website, and we have a grab-and-go pack, and I had mentioned that earlier when James Leslie Rawls was on, and you need a bug-in bag, you need a bug-out bag, and this should be part of it. And this grab-and-go pack has 76 meals. They're tasty, they're low-cost, and they should be part of everyone's food survival strategy package. And if you go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges, we have 6 months same as cash. So we're helping to finance your preparedness. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. And I want to remind everybody, too, please make your reservations for HearTheWatchman.com conference. This is going to be so good. Hear the Watchman conference, hosted by our good friends Doug and Joe Hagman, John B. Wells, Dr. Ted Brower, Nathan Leal, Pastor David Lamford, Coach Dave. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Just the great names just don't end. And it's such a wonderful conference. HearTheWatchman.com. Well, we're officially in our last segment. James White, hopefully, has been waiting in the green room. Jim, are you with us?
I am, Dave. I have been in the green room listening to your fine broadcast, and Katie, with everything she has going on, and I'm delighted again to be with you.
Yeah, Katie's just, she never fails to knock it out of the park. In fact, let me give Katie a plug. I've posted her what the FDA doesn't want you to know about breast cancer treatment. It's up on the commonsenseshow.com right now. Do not go there right now. That's an order. You may go there in 30 minutes. But you want to hear this great interview, great presentation by Katie. Okay, it's up on thecommonsenseshow.com. What the FDA does not want you to know about breast cancer treatment. And certainly, she has all of these great strategies that people should be employing when they encounter that awful diagnosis. Well, Jim, this is the, and to note to our producer, I'm getting a lot of feedback and echo here, so hopefully we can mitigate that. But, Jim, this is the 52nd anniversary of JFK's assassination, and let me tell you what I've done. I'm taking a different tack now, and it's kind of like the passing of time, and I finally have caught up with the realization that nobody cares anymore. This was a hot topic in the 90s, the early 2000s. I had the great honor of interviewing people like Jim Mars on this topic, who I really consider to be the most knowledgeable person. And he wrote a book called Crossfire, which he since updated. And I'd recommend everyone go to therealjimmars.com, and you can look up his books. And Crossfire is at the top of my reading list. And but he didn't pay me for that plug, by the way. Okay, this is something that's from the heart. In fact, note to self, we need to get Jim back on the show. But Jim, no one cares anymore. I used to do presentations all around the valley on the Kennedy assassination, and I have a video presentation that went with it where I would play clips, and I have covered how the boy, I'll tell you, that echo is getting worse and worse, so hopefully we can eliminate some of that. I've covered in detail how Gordon Arnold, the Marianne Mormon photo, Christian David's lawyer who gave the contract to kill Kennedy that originated with the American Mafia at the urging of the CIA, but that's not where the trail stops, and of course Michele Nicolai, who paid off the assassins in South America when he converted their initial payment of heroin into American dollars, and that's of course when the dollar was worth something. We have the testimony of Ed Hoffman, and we have the picture of the badge man. And all these people describe, and two people give the name, of Lucien Sarti. Corsican mafia hitman, the old French heroin connection out of Marseille, France. That's who your grassy knoll shooter was. And I used to give this presentation, people would tell me, oh, this is stunning. But that doesn't tell you who did it. Jim, let me bring you in on this here, and What do you see? Let me just ask you a general question. What do you see as the present state of the JFK assassination, where America is with it, and are there any lessons yet to be learned from that event?
You know, Dave, I don't necessarily know if it's so much that people are not as interested in it any longer. I think, and they're not. What you say is true, but I think the reason behind it is because, you know, what the JFK assassination and the investigations into it, into said assassination, you know, it really what it uncovered was government corruption at a very, very deep level. Now, I submit to you, these days, that type of corruption is way more out in the open, and there's so many different flavors now to choose from, you know, so to speak, because the corruption is legion. That it's not necessarily, I don't think there's still good people that care about the JFK assassination, but I think that it's unfortunately, it's in the sea, amongst the sea of all the rest of the corruption. So, you know, there's so many other things like we cover, you know, sure, could we cover JFK, 3-4 times a week probably, or 3-4 times a month? Yeah, we could. But there's so many much more going on right now that we just can't, you know, take that kind of time because it's not really current. Now, lessons to be learned. Yeah, watch out for men with diaries. Geez, I think you wrote something about that, right?
Yeah, I did. In fact, I actually applied that to Donald Trump when I said Donald Trump needs to be worried about being assassinated by a man with a diary, assuming his candidacy is sincere and legitimate, and I'm still not yet convinced. I think he might be a feel-good table dressing, and maybe nothing more. Time will tell. Time will tell if he's a Ross Perot reincarnated. But I did say if he's for real, he better watch his six, because Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, and John Kennedy were all killed within a 5-year time frame, all killed by a single assassin armed with a diary who said what they were going to do. And I had a discussion with my father about this a long, long, long time ago, going back into, I think, my teenage years. And we were watching something on TV about this, and my dad says, you know, you think the American people recognize a cover story for the third time when they hear it. And, of course, you know, the listening audience is probably familiar. My father was in naval intelligence and knew a lot about cover stories. And he said he didn't believe a word of the Warren Report, which ended up being an accurate criticism. Jim, you're absolutely right. It's beware of men with diaries. And the next president, they all fall into line now. The last president that I think told the globalists no was Ronald Reagan. In fact, I remember in the lead-up to the 1980 campaign, the Republican campaign, Ronald Reagan called out his chief opponent for the Republican nomination, George H.W. Bush, on ABC TV. I remember this well, when he said he's an elitist who's a member of the Trilateral Commission. And I had just read the book, co-authored by Patrick Wood, frequent guest on this show, called Trilaterals Over Washington. And I popped up out of my bed and I said, holy cow, or words to that effect. I couldn't believe what I just heard. And so Ronald Reagan actually thought he was going to make a difference. He actually thought he was going to overturn the trilateral invasion of the presidency that took place under Jimmy Carter. And what happened to him in the first year? He got shot. And isn't it interesting? You know, you remember who shot President Reagan, Jim?
John Hinckley,
yeah. It's interesting because I went to Hinckley High School in Aurora, but even more interesting was who dined with the Hinckleys the night before Reagan was shot? George Herbert Walker Bush. Exactly.
Yep. Former CIA director.
Exactly.
That's a whole family of scoundrels, Dave. Their whole family's scoundrels, by the way. Anyway, sorry to cut you off.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you know, if you want sex traffickers, that's the family to go to. If you want people assassinated, that's the family to go to. And, of course, H.W. is he was witnessed to have been at the meeting involving Richard Nixon, J. Edgar Hoover, Gerald Ford, and all these three future presidents, along with the FBI director, at the house of Clint Murchison, Texas oil man, associate with the Rockefellers, the night before the assassination, where Jim Mars has talked about this and he's written about it in his book, where LBJ comes out and tells his mistress, well, after tomorrow, we're not going to have to worry about the Kennedys any longer. And H.W. was part of that. We've had guests on our show talk about how H.W. had part of the cover-up where he had DeMorenschelt killed, and DeMorenschelt was a connection between the CIA and the Mafia, and they were the assassins on the ground. And he's as dirty can come. And, of course, I don't think his son, the village idiot, you know, George W., I think whose IQ is about as high as room temperature, I think George W., is certainly not sophisticated at that level, but H.W. did a lot of damage to this country. And, of course, what happened under Reagan? They staffed his cabinet with trilaterals. Well, let's get down to it. In my estimation, and I'll bypass all the details that you can get on all the shows going on today that still cover the Kennedy assassination. You know, they cover the magic bullet and the missing brain and the faulty forensic evidence and so forth. But when you get down to it, why was John Kennedy killed? And this is where you see the parallel links, Jim, into today's society. He was killed because, number one, he was messing with the Federal Reserve. You don't mess with the Federal Reserve and live to tell about it. The bankers put a bullet in your brain. And what was he doing? He was producing silver certificates, C-notes, $2 billion to be exact. And what happened after Johnson became president and assumed the reins of control in the presidency? Canceled all of them. You know, they can still get them as a collector's item. But this went away as a viable currency. Why were silver certificates important to the American people? Because they represented interest-free currency. You know, by the time you get a dollar, some estimates say they're worth 94 cents, it's worth 95 cents. You know, depending on who you read on this, Jim, but still, these people are using their usury fees and their built-in costs, and the Federal Reserve is making a mint off every dollar that gets printed. So that was one reason. Another reason was, I believe, his American University speech, and I wrote an article about this today, and it's up on the website at thecommonsenseshow.com under today's publications, and I'd encourage you to go read it because it talks about Kennedy's American University speech in May of 63, 6 months before he's assassinated, in which he called for nuclear cutbacks. A ban on above-ground testing. Well, that's not what the military-industrial complex, headed by the rich industrialists, wanted to hear. They want government to spend money on this. They want them to explode those bombs, so they got to replace them. And at the time that Kennedy was killed, Norman Cousins and his daughters were actually at Nikita Khrushchev's vacation home negotiating nuclear arms cutbacks, or at least trying to bring Khrushchev to the table. And he was in principle in agreement. In fact, also at the same time, Kennedy had a journalist from France with Fidel Castro talking about how do we repair these relations between Cuba and the United States. And Castro allegedly came in after the assassination and said, "I'm sorry, this meeting's over. You no longer represent anybody." So Kennedy was flying in the face of what the rich elite wanted in this country, was a huge nuclear buildup, and he was talking about a cutback. He said, after all, we live on the same small planet, we all breathe the same air, blah, 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 spend the money on kids, education, healthcare, welfare, whatever it is, but don't spend it on nuclear weapons. Well, that was another reason why he was dealt the death blow. And what happened when Lyndon Johnson took over? Single biggest increase in American nuclear arms production in our history. Think that's an accident? I don't think so. 2 weeks before Kennedy was killed, President Diem and his brother were assassinated by the CIA, allegedly for corruption. Corruption? Really? We're worried about corruption in South Vietnam? No. They assassinated him because Diem came out and said, "We don't want American ground troops in our country." And Kennedy was quoted as saying, after all, it's their war to win, in an interview he did with Walter Cronkite. And Kennedy was killed 2 weeks after Diem. He had actually made plans through National Security Memorandums 222, 223, 224 to even take out the combat advisors by December of 64, which was 13 months following his death. And of course, what did Lyndon Johnson do after that fateful day? In 9 months, we had 100,000 ground troops in South Vietnam, courtesy of the false flag operation that took place in North Vietnam off the coastal waters, the Gulf of Tonkin incident. So that's another reason why he was taken out. He was just really upsetting the elite. And then you get into the oil depletion allowance, in which the oil companies can literally write off tax expense for drilling into thin air. I mean, there were hardly any guidelines or limits on what they were doing to fleece the American taxpayer, and Kennedy had worked to significantly get that cut back. And of course, that was one of the reasons why these men, Nixon and company, met with Clint Murchison, Texas oil man, the night before the assassination. These oil men wanted him out. So you had Vietnam, the war that would be worth billions to the elite, the nuclear arms race worth trillions to the elite, the Federal Reserve Board, which has run this economy into the ground, where dollar used to buy a dollar from, what was that, from 1789. I taught out of a sociology book one time that had this chart. 1789 to 1913, a dollar was still worth a dollar. From 1913 to 2 years ago, dollar's worth 3 cents. Well, this is what John Kennedy was trying to prevent. Well, that's not what the Federal Reserve wanted, because those people wanted to take him out for those reasons. And there are some other reasons, too. But let's suffice it to say, those are the major reasons why John Kennedy was taken out, Jim. And all these things were reversed. And then we had a president, like I said, Ronald Reagan, who came along, you know, a generation later, and he himself was almost taken out. And, of course, he was rendered into kind of a backseat presidency in his second term, where the trilaterals run everything. So, Jim, here's where we would get the proverbial drum roll. The proverbial drum roll is this.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. The proverbial drum roll says, well, who done it? Well, whenever you do a murder investigation, you always follow the money, unless it's a crime of passion, of course. Well, this was a crime of money, and you follow the money. So I can name Lucien Sarti. We have his photo. We have two eyewitness testimonies that name him. That's enough to get a conviction. We've got eyewitness testimony, like I said, of Gordon Arnold and Hoffman, who was watching from the bridge when all this took place. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who fired the fatal headshot. What matters is who did the orders to fire the fatal headshot. Who fell on the line in the Secret Service when they left all those windows open in Dealey Plaza in violation of Secret Service protocols? Or why was the president's vehicle at the front of the motorcade, which is another violation? And why, when they went from Houston to Elm and passed in front of the book depository, was Kennedy's car going 13 miles an hour, another violation of Secret Service protocol? Well, you had to get to someone in the Secret Service. And how is it that Kennedy's Warren Commission investigation was conducted by his enemies, including Alan Dulles, the man he fired for the flawed Bay of Pigs operation? Who changed his parade route? Well, how about a guy named Campbell? Who was that? He was in the Dallas Police Department. Who was his brother? Deputy Director Campbell of the CIA that Kennedy also fired from Bay of Pigs. We could go on and on. But who is behind all this? Who stood to earn the most money from the overturn of the silver certificates, the reinstatement of the oil depletion allowance, the acceleration of nuclear arms production, which basically reversed everything Kennedy was working for? Who stood to gain from Vietnam? Well, who owned Bell Helicopter? Who owned Chrysler Corporation? They got 90% of all defense contracts in the Vietnam War era. Jim? You've talked to me many times about this topic. We've done another show on this previously. So I'm going to let you make an educated guess here.
Of course, it's Rockefeller. It always is Rockefeller. It always traces back to the Rockefellers. Yes?
Well, that's who I say. I mean, let me put it this way. I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt it was Lucien Sarti firing the fatal headshot, that he used a hollow point bullet. Easy to prove. What you have to prove circumstantially in most murders, you don't get direct proof that someone committed a murder. You get circumstantial proof. You get crime scene evidence. You get motive from who benefited from transfer of money, change of policies resulting in transfer of money. In every instance, you had David Rockefeller, who's head of the New York Federal Reserve. You've got a man who had his hand in every defense industry in this country. You had a man who almost every defense contract for the Vietnam War ran through Chrysler Corporation, which in 1963 the Rockefellers owned. And, of course, the oil depletion allowance, Rockefeller is synonymous with oil. I don't know how we could look anywhere else. And, quite frankly, I am absolutely stunned that we haven't heard the name Rockefeller coming from the rooftops, out of every room of every investigator who's ever looked at this, because to me, Jim, nothing else makes any sense. Let me throw it back to you for your reaction.
Well, one of the reasons you haven't heard about it, David, is because they own most all of the media as well. I mean, they have their hands in a lot of these media ventures. Now, a long, long time ago, they realized that, you know, he who controls the media, you know, certainly controls in a lot of aspects the pulse of the nation, because, you know, they have a lot of, you know, tremendous amount of influence. And you've probably heard the stories when they were trying to do this Trans-Texas Corridor, where there was a Spanish company that came in. There was all along the route, the corridor route, there were news organizations, smaller news organizations that, you know, would print opposing stories in their editorials about the corridor. So the company came in and just bought all of the newspapers along the route, and of course the whole editorial perspective changed at that point. And that's the type of that's the type of shenanigans that they pull off. And the reason they do it, Dave, is because it works. It works. And another thing, circling back to the Kennedy assassination, with the exception of Ronald Reagan, who was bold certainly to come out and say the things he did, what that Kennedy assassination really did essentially was it was in your face, out in the open, broad daylight, warning to all those in the future. We did it to one of the most popular presidents of all time. We did it right in the open, and we got away with it. So if we can do it to him, what makes you think we can't do it to you? And we can certainly have another show, Dave, about all the people that have met their demise around people like the Clintons, but that's another show altogether. But yeah, this stuff, you know, certainly is. I tell you one, they sealed the records until 2027, I think. Isn't that right, Dave?
No, I think you're close. It's 2033. Like, we're little children who pay for this with our taxes, but we're not mature enough to know what really happened. And I have to tell you what, Jim, do you know what the crime scene was? The limousine. And the limousine could have been examined for bullet fragments that could have been ballistically traced or not traced to Oswald's gun, which did not shoot hollow point bullets. It's clearly what the president was shot with, because it blew out a quarter of his cerebellum. But what did Johnson do? He'd never had the limousine investigated as a crime scene. He had it shipped off to another city where it was stripped down and cleaned out and no forensic investigation done. And if you and I had done that in a crime scene, we'd have been in prison for a minimum of 5 years. This president committed a felony and got away with it. And this is more to the point where I'm bringing this up here on November 22nd, 2015, about a crime that took place on November 22nd, 1963. Because although many of these men have passed into history through their death, the philosophy, the policies that grabbed control of this country in 1963 are still with us. And if we want to look at when the American people lost total control of their government, and I mean absolute total control, we had lost a lot of the government during, of course, the Roosevelt years and going forward with the military-industrial complex coming on the scene during the Eisenhower years that he warned us about. But we lost total control of this government. And here's why Americans, if they just looked at the Kennedy assassination, and I've said this, long after the paint has dried and all the books that will ever be written about the Kennedy assassination, we're almost there, all the shows that are broadcast are somehow over, no one cares, no one's paying attention, but the lesson to be drawn from this is very, very clear, is that we now live in a country where small elite cabals can kill people and take away our right to conduct the government's business by who we choose and who we elect. In other words, we are not any kind of republic form of democracy. We are a pretend form of republic democracy. We live in an oligarchy that rules by very violent means. And this is why people should turn off their TV sets, not listen to a damn word that the mainstream media talks about, because they're owned by the Rockefellers, they're owned by the other elite people. And we need, if we could just break through, and I've often said I thought the Kennedy assassination was the conduit to educate the majority of the sheep about how bad things really are. Because it's easy to see this was a conspiracy. In the 1990s, 80% of us believed it was a conspiracy, according to the public opinion polls. And I thought, this is how you wake people up. Start them with this one portal of entry, get them into the conspiracy house, and then they can see how bad the rest is. And then everything begins to make sense and no longer sounds outlandish when people like Steve Quayle, myself, Jim White, but you know what, Jim, it's not going to happen. As hard as we've tried, as hard as Jim Mars has tried, as hard as Steve Quayle has tried, we need to educate each other. We need to support each other. Maybe we pull in 5% more people, maybe 10, at the most, on a good day. But we need to support each other. We need to continue to educate each other. That's what we're dedicated to. And if you noticed, people who have followed me over here from the other network that I was on, we've gone more to survival mode, how to adapt, how to adjust, instead of how to defeat. Because we have too many sheep, and as long as we have this many sheep, we can't possibly defeat these forces against us. What we can do is begin to adapt. And this is what I think the Kennedy assassination teaches us, is that we are no longer in control of our government. We haven't been for a very, very long time, and I don't think we have any chance of gaining control back. Jim, your final thoughts on this?
Well, you know, you realize how far down the road we've gone when you look at, for example, the free speech zones. On its face, just look at it on its face, they're going to create an area that you can go where you can exercise your free speech. But your quote-unquote free speech, of course, is confined within their parameters, and it's not really free at all, yet people put up with it. So, I mean, we've really gone far down the path, Dave, and I know we don't have time to go into this, but the recent poll, about 40% of millennials thinking that the government should end free speech. If you say offensive things about other minorities, which, as I said, that's another show altogether, another topic. But everybody, if you're listening to this broadcast, you know, you are on the team that needs to stand up and come against this tyranny. So there's no time like the present. Don't wait for headquarters. Now is the time. Stand up and take action.
Don't take your marching orders from the Common Sense Show, because I can't win this revolution. I don't think Steve Quayle can win this revolution. Neither can my friend Doug Hagman. Neither can James White. You win this revolution by fighting this on a spiritual basis, invoking the power of God, because they have the power of the planet. This is Satan's planet. The Prince of Darkness rules over this planet. And we're learning this lesson the hard way. Many of us who listen to this broadcast and participate in these activities are decided Christians by choice. And we're learning the hard way that we're not in control. That day is coming when we will be in control, or I should say that our Lord and Savior will be in control, but we are not in control. And we're not going to be in control, so we damn well better learn how to adapt, which is why I had James Wesley Rawls on, why I had Mike Adams on, why I have Jim White on, why I have the guests I have on. I am trying to help people adapt as best as possible, because this is what I think we have left. And no, I'm not trying to be a defeatist. This certainly isn't fear-mongering. This is reality-mongering. And we live in an oligarchy controlled by the rich elite, and there's not one Christian bone in any of these people. So if you expect fairness when they complete their takeover, you're going to be waiting for a very, very long time, and you'll probably be sitting inside a FEMA camp cell while you're waiting. So, Jim, it's sad. 52 years have passed, and nothing has changed. It's only gotten worse. We'll be back next week, and we're going to be joined by Lisa Haven, and we're going to talk about Facebook tyranny and why your family is at risk if you're on Facebook. And then we have a couple of open topics that I'm still working on. Anyway, we are out of time for tonight. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to my great guests, Jim White and Katie. Thanks to you guys and our producer, Todd. Thanks a lot. We'll be back next week. Go out and have a great week. God bless.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.